digits do not have to have necessarily the highest one. They have that intermediate state.
Mm-hmm.
They had their periods for that, you see. And our teacher, the Mennonite teacher, I think his name was, I know his last name definitely was Klassen, and I believe it was Adam Klassen. Now he was of the new wave. He was taught and went to theological schools, either in Switzerland or in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
He was an excellent speaker and probably one of the most liberal men I've ever met. When he would enter our classroom, he would not sit on the that special podium. He would come to one of the puppets that we had there, he always called him that, and he would sit on that, on top of it, with his foot crossed like that,
mm-hmm.
his hands like that. Mostly it was Frank in German, actually. Hansi Frank.
Really?
Yes. You want to, any question. And of course it was very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do have
for sure.
And I remember.
Do you think that the people going to schools in Germany and so on, teachers and so on, do you think that that had a big influence on what you were talking about, the liberal generation? The more liberal
well, they
generation.
Must have brought something with them.
Mm-hmm.
First of all...
I'm thinking about this man,
yes.
for example, and yeah. I can easily see where
yes,
a person with such an open mind
certainly.
Could...
He came back from his background, was considerably more conservative than he was himself. That was natural.
Right.
And then he went abroad. The only thing he had in common was a German. But not the German that is usually spoken in Germany either, unless he went to Hamburg. That's
mm-hmm.
about the closest we come with our German. And naturally, he has brought something with him. What was he taught? He went to, certainly not Mennonite schools in the States.
No, they would have been.
They wouldn't be. If you went to the cradle
state
of the Mennonites, what would you find there? Nothing but Dutch or something like that spoken.
Mm-hmm.
So there had to be something that, but as I say, his period was mostly Frauen. This one time, a boy got up and asked him to define what is a sin. After all, we're growing up here in
mm-hmm.
Paris, you see. It didn't take him any thought of it. He says, you know, you're a Ten Commandments. He says, all right. Now, besides that, he says, anything that a human being brings to the point where it takes over and becomes a passion and harmful is a sin. He says, chess playing is a sin if you do nothing but play chess and neglect
things.
Because we also were chess players. And that was stolen by the last class.
Only we were
eventually in Russia. It was there. I mean, there was a certain new wave was coming in, which was particularly noticeable in Hauptstadt and not alone. We have, for instance, our hospitals. So in Hauptstadt, the hospital we had of it was Tabunius, who was a Lithuanian or a Latin, I don't know, first class surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there were Mennonite youth who were going to the medical schools in Moscow or into Germany, where it was. And several of the doctors were coming and were already practicing in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, that was, as far as the generation there, an entirely different society. They had to be. They didn't come.
For sure.
They may have come from the plowshares.
But they were certainly no longer behind them.
No, they didn't return to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was there, you see.
Mm-hmm. What about the relationship of the Mennonites to the Russian people? Do you think that was a healthy relationship?
Well, the more intelligent Mennonites, and there were many of them, they knew the worth of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of them, I would say, come and say, because they were so much better off.
Right. There quite understandable.
Yes,
from the situation.
I'll give you another example. The Russians were becoming quite worried about the Mennonite settlements, even before the war, because they were very wealthy, and they were prolific, and they had their own schools, they had their own set of laws in many respects, laws when it came to touch the land, where the land could only be divided into so many segments and no more.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their own inheritance laws, where the head of the family or the next head of the family who takes over could not insult his sisters by cutting them off without a penny if there was no will. He
right.
still had to pay them out this share,
mm-hmm.
which was as large as the share of his younger brother. Now the Russians didn't have that. And the Russians tried to introduce policy of wedging by bringing in small settlements of Russians within
the group of the
Mennonites.
Mm-hmm.
What did they succeed in? First of all, this group comes in there and finds out that as far as schooling is concerned, they only have a small classroom connected with the church. And usually the deacon of the church was also the teacher. Whereas next door are the Mennonite schools who are teaching Russian as a language and German as a language. Well, they were giving and seriously sending, taking their children out of that school and sending them to the Mennonite schools. That's why, as I'm telling you, here I have friends and Jewish and Russian, and they spoke perfect German, and because of these schooling, you see. They did not introduce a wedge. What they introduced was discontent of these. The Russians just couldn't take it over, you see.
Right.
And they didn't.
Can you tell me what was roughly your family situation when you emigrated and how you went about emigrating?
Really, I had so little. Of course, by that time, we were down to the very last thing. We had nothing to lose. Everything came, you know. So, with most of them, a few of them managed to come over maybe with a bit of gold here and a bit of gold there, but generally it was all in the mainstream,
right.